tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be your living. Thank you, Harry.
Sing it unto him now.
Oh Lord, prepare me
to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, be tried and true with thanksgiving. I'll be a living.
Will you?
Sanctuary before you.
Amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary, a dwelling place for God to live in. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 3. And also turn to Acts 2. Revelation 3 and Acts 2. Just remember now that the tomorrow night, starting at 8 o'clock, watch night service. Everybody be ready to sing, because what we do is we start off and we have like a 30-minute song service, just a little bit. Then we're praying Brother David Gadman will be speaking for us. And then when he gets through preaching, then we'll have singing from then till midnight. We always take communion at midnight, so come prepared, bring your sing, your music, your voice, and everything, and come ready to sing for us and have a good time. I hope Joyce, maybe by then, will sing that song that her daddy wrote on justification, so maybe we can get that. And if you remember a year ago, there was a certain brother stood up and testified here, and he said a lot of things. And I believe it was, was it 2 years ago? Anyhow, I stood up here and made a lot of testimonies and things about the Lord and what he'd done. He went through a horrible year. A lot of things happened to him, right, Danny? But still, you don't change your testimony. Everything's still the same. Amen. So that's good. So just remember that. Also remember now the Bible study. We will not be having any Wednesday night service because we'll be having the... you get through Tuesday, so it won't be any Wednesday night service. Now, remember that. And then we will have a Bible study on Saturday, 6 o'clock. So remember that. Amen. All right. So we know that we've had a lot of changes around here in weddings and different things like that, and we're tickled about it. And Amy and Jeffrey are announcing, I know everybody knows about it, but their engagement. So we're very proud of that and everything. And we just... you know, we are making plans to talking at least in a greater stage and determining whether to try to build on. So if we keep on everything and, you know, and all of this coming along, we're going to need more room. So we're making plans to go out that way and try to do a little changing and all around here. And I say it's in the planning stage, and that's all right now. So But we are making plans and to get everything to go. If we can, we'll get it underway and try to change things around a little bit and all like that. So we may need the room. That's good, you know, and all in the Lord. So we appreciate it. Just remember that. Remember tomorrow night, bring sweets and snacks or whatever you want to bring, and we'll sit around before service and eat a little bit if you want to. And then after service, then we can have a good time and don't have to go out and go to a restaurant or anything, you know, to get something to eat. We just have a good time fellowshipping together. Amen. All right. Let's see. Revelation 3 and Acts 2. I think, is that all announcements? All right. Father, we thank you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for your love unto us. Because your love being bestowed upon us is the most wonderful thing that could ever be thought of in life, that you would save us. And that you'd come down and live with us, in us, And Father, that we could believe that we're in the end time, when your presence among us is so great until it will change these mortal bodies that we live in. Father, we thank you for the promises, because you promised it. Like the prophet said one day, talking about something, and he started to pray, he said, Lord, it's not hard to ask you to do that, because you promised you would. So, Lord, that's where we're at. You promised us that there'd be a body change, that there'd be a time. You've made your promise, so we depend upon that. Have your way now as we read your scriptures and things. You come and you speak to each and every one of us. Remember the sicknesses among us? You said you'd send your word and heal us. And we thank you. Just touch each one. Remember Brother Dean there in the hospital? We pray all is well and he'll be home, Lord. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 3:20-21 and 22, then Acts 2. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All right, now let's go over to Acts 2, because this will be the point of where we're trying to get to in this afternoon's message. 2 and verse, we'll start reading about verse 22. Need to read the whole thing, but we'll start reading at verse 22 through 36. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Now this is the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You remember Revelation 3, right? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, even the hope of a resurrection. See, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, did you notice what it says? Because thou wilt not leave my soul. Now, you can say that's a prophecy of, you know, that he just so much in the Spirit, but he, you know, now the... This man got to the position to where that he saw the resurrection. All right? So he'll not leave my soul in hell. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to hell. All right? Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Now I hope we've got... Now because the printer in there is still out. May need one, or I need one of the mornings if we can. If you can. Yeah, of the morning. I've got this one, but I need one of the morning. Not for right now. I just need it for later in the office. The printer label went out, so we're having trouble. We didn't have any. Couldn't find any. And the reason I didn't get all these printed out this morning, but Wade can run down and run us off a few copies of whatever. Now, I hope you enjoyed the message this morning of the fact of Jesus when he said there in Revelation 3, 21, you know, to sit with me on my throne. Right? And see, that's, as I told and started trying to bring this morning, that was the Son of Man, and that he would have a throne, right? And that would finally, and we'll read this afternoon, that would finally wind up being in the millennial reign as the Son of David, is what he was pointing to as far as his throne. And the little sister, you know, she saw that and she saw him speaking of some kind of a throne he was going to have, or a domain, and she wanted one of her kids to sit on one side and one on the other in that kingdom, you know. And Jesus said that that wouldn't his to give, and the prophet said one day it will be given, you know, for that when the overcomer comes. All right, I believe that will be someone here in the end time, so I'm going to believe I'm going to be one of them. You can be on the other side. So you got to make your choice. And we won't argue about which side. We'll just make sure that we're trying to sit there. But it'll be a glorious time. All right. But I told you this morning, he didn't come into the world as Son of Man to rule. He came in the world to die. No. He came to die, not to rule. All right. The Son of Man is the ruler of the earth. Yes, we know that. That's true. But still, the ruling of the earth was that he could walk on the water. He could do the great things. He could heal the sick, cast out devils and things. It was not a kingdom of, it was the sign of the resurrection. All right. That's why Brother Branham would say, now, you know, the Son of Man's promised in the end time to come, and said, now, here we'll show you that this is, and he turned right there and discern very the thoughts and intents of the hearts of the people and tell them, you know, not him doing it. It was the prophetic realm that it was being done in. And see, that would be the Son of Man. Son of Man doesn't come to rule. The Son of Man come to die. All right, just we'll get to it in a minute. See, he lived as Son of Man upon the earth. He died as Son of Man because you cannot kill God. So it was not the Son of God that died. It was the Son of Man, the flesh, that the life was removed from the body, and by doing that, the flesh, you know, the life left it, so the body was dead, all right? And in doing that, that body, see, laid in the tomb, waiting on the Spirit to come and resurrect it, all right? Now, I'm just trying to make something fast, and we'll drop back. Well, I might as well go ahead with that part of it, because, see, that body that was laying in the tomb, see, the Word made flesh. The prophet said, there laid the Word. He said, but now there was no life in it. The body was laying in the tomb, as we would call it, dead. No life in it. The blood had stopped. Whatever takes place in the makeup of the body when life leaves it, you know, that's what took place. All right. Waiting on the Spirit to come back and enter therein. The prophet said the Word laid there, cold in the tomb, waiting. See, but when the Spirit came back, it picked that body up. All right, it took that up, and we'll read the scripture in just a minute there in the psalmist, that he took that body up, see, raised it up, had a resurrection. All right, because he'd done cleansed and claimed it for the resurrection. Amen. And he cleansed and claimed your body. Now, I'm going to say this, because I told you this is what we're going to get into, the Lord willing, next weekend. But listen, this is the only age, I want to repeat, this is the only age that the people reaches the salutation, the greetings, the revelation of it, and the overcoming part while we're alive. All right? Now, if Jesus, if that Holy Spirit came on him on the River Jordan, and we believe it did, to cleanse, or not to cleanse, but to claim the body for the resurrection, because the body was not eternal. All right? But it claimed it for a resurrection. Then can't you see that this is the age of the change of the body? Do you understand? This is the age of the change. Because it starts the beginning of the creation of God, comes into the continuation of the creation of God, and goes right into a resurrection and a change. Alright? See, because while we're here alive, these are going to take place. They that are alive and remain, see, won't hinder them, won't pray. Why? Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of an archangel, and the trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment and caught up to meet the Lord. Alright? Now, this age then, the revelation to this age is the redemption of the body. Okay? Brother David and I were talking about a while ago, see, the redemption of the spirit, or the Son of God, as we'll cover. The Son of God, in a minute we'll get to it, of the ages and the Spirit of God living in us. It brings us as far in the stature of a perfect man as where the disciples were. So your soul, if you have the faith of the fathers, your soul is redeemed. Even the new birth makes it redeemed and eternal, but you've come to the position. But you're only to the position of a waiting period or time. And no age, even the first age. They were just waiting. They could not step into a body change. So the message in the end time wouldn't be for just to, it would be to reveal the plan of salvation, which would be our new birth, and that's why the prophet, it took him 30 years to preach the stature of a perfect man. That's what he said, waiting to for God to bring that to him. But then his message came. The beginning of the creation of God. Right? Revelation 3:14. Alright? And as it did, it would deal with the body. See, we have a message to deal with the body. No age has had a message to deal with the change of the body. Nobody's had to be responsible for a body change. You and I have to be. Alright? So it's the message of the hour. So then, in this age, you'll see what I'm talking about. That the salutation and the overcomer in this age comes together. We're not waiting somewhere else. See, Luther and them is in the grave waiting on you and I. If we don't come to the place to bring them out of the ground, see, then what they believed in what they for their day would have to be false. But we know somebody then will do it. Somebody's going to come to a change. This is the age of the change. That's what I've been aiming at, see. So the salutation and the overcomer now is coming together to talk about what? The redemption of the body. There's your Son of Man. Son of Man deals with bodily redemption or resurrection sign. Go back and check your prophet when he's talking about Son of Man and see if he didn't always cover it in a resurrection sign. See, that was what it was, that what it, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of Son of Man be. Not 3 days and three nights. They've argued over that. Never could figure it out. But it's not that. Jonah was the resurrection sign. He went down, he came up. See, Brother Branham had the resurrection sign of the Son of Man. See, resurrection sign. The dead could be raised. That's fine. But the main resurrection sign was a man that could get himself out of the way, that the Holy Spirit could so come in him that he could look down and call out telephone numbers and homes and things. That's the sign of the resurrection, because that was the same thing the Lord Jesus done. When he said, you're Peter, but your name will be, you're Cephas, your name will be Peter. So was it Thomas? I saw you when you was under the tree. That was the resurrection sign. Alright? So in the end time, it's returned to the resurrection sign. Proving that the body is going to follow. That's why it's so hard to preach, because see, I still want to keep on going on the Son of Man. But now that's been preached enough, you ought to know. And if not, come Saturday. We'll have questions and answers. And we'll try to answer any question you have on the Son of Man or the things. But see, what I'm wanting to do now is to get on to the fact of what Jesus said, sit with me in my throne, as I've overcome and sit with my Father in His throne. Right. That way, you can see it all tied together and see there is a hope, as I read here. The man has wondered, is there an opportunity? The great Job and all, is there any way that somebody could stand between me and God and bring me to a position to where that I could have hopes of this redemption? Job believed in a general resurrection. He believed in a resurrection of all mankind. See? Even Martha and them, see, you know, one of them said to Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. See? But now, whatever. See, a general resurrection. Yeah, he'll come up in a resurrection. Right? But see, the catch was they didn't understand when Jesus said, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
See? All right, that's got to stand here in a group of people. The same word that was back there, got to stand here. Well, Brother Dale, we'll never be prophets. I ain't trying to be a prophet. If you think there's something wrong with that, then that's what's wrong with you. There's something in you trying to make you something that you shouldn't be. We're not trying to be a prophet. We've had the prophet. The message has come. Trying to just be what the messenger brought. If I was trying to be a prophet, I'd be preaching against Brother Branham. I'm letting you think. Because all of these that believe they are prophets is always preached against him. Right? All of the ones in the message that ever said they were something, oh, Brother Branham was okay, but now he was wrong here. Two-soul man, I indict you for believing the message the way Brother Branham preached it. See, if I was going to be a prophet, that's what I'd do. I'd be against this one. You say, oh no, I'd be true. See, you're not thinking like I'm thinking. There's not another prophet. So if you're going to think you're a prophet, you know, I'm not a five-fold ministry prophet, I believe in that. But if you're going to think you're a prophet, see, to somebody, maybe on tape out there or here, if you think you're some kind of prophet to carry the people through, then you're out of the Word to start with. See, because the message has already been delivered. I'm not looking for a message to raise this body. I'm looking at the message. It's already come. The message is here. What else you want to preach on? I preached on this back in the 70s. To carry it all the way to the change of the body. Right? And I still, you think I don't believe it more today? But see, that man that walked on the shores of Galilee, that Son of Man come to die.
Right. Sure. Amen.
How much deader, now listen, how much deader was there a man in the end time than Brother Branham was as far as a natural man now? When he would stand, I was listening to him the other day, he said, I live so close to God. Now that's something, isn't it? He said, I live so close to God to press this gift that it would work. What about a man that can make that type of statement? That he lives so close to God that he could press that gift to make it work. An humble man that could just, you know, they could just lead him around, do whatever with him. He wasn't something we think, Son of Man, boy, bless God, I'm Son of Man, we'll just take over. The Son of Man didn't take over the government. That's what I hope you caught this morning. Pilate wasn't scared of him. Pilate had no concern that this man was trying to take over his kingdom. Because the man told him he wouldn't. Pilate literally liked the man. You know. Because he looked at him and saw something. He said, I find nothing in this man. See, he wouldn't come to rule. That was not the time. It's not the time to rule now. They said back there when we first started, they had that tent ministry, that Brother Branham was going to come back, boy, and he's going to lead us. We're going to the White House. We're going to march on the White House. Some shaking their head. No, I know what I'm talking about because that's what they believed. And a lot of them still believe that. That we're going to take over. No, it's not to take over. It's to take over these bodies. This is the part I want to take over, is this outside man, to bring him under subjection. God will do the rest because he's already paid the price.
Right.
You don't have to prove nothing. Oh, if we just had signs and wonders, Brother Dale, I'd believe what you preach. Well, you're in the wrong age. Come on, you're in the wrong age. Because in this age, you don't have to have signs to believe the word. The real bride don't. It doesn't matter to me if God never does another thing and we stay here 20 more years, that won't change my thoughts. Because I know He's the healer. I've experienced it. I know He's the Savior. I've experienced it. He doesn't have to keep doing it for me to believe it. I've seen God do the things that He promised. So then why do I worry about the rest of it? But listen, this one that lived, then he had to die. And when he laid his life down, he laid it down for you and I. Now he wants somebody to live in now. In the fullness in the end time. To where that he can call the others from the grave. By those that are alive in the end time walking upon the face of the earth. And to do that, he had to do it a certain way. Why didn't he just come down, you know? Why didn't he just come down? Why didn't the Spirit of Almighty God just drop down on the world and just fill everybody in the world? You know, 2,000 years ago or any time. Why didn't he just come down and just say, well, I'm going to go down and save them. Or just save everybody. And that didn't happen, did it? But why didn't he just do it that way? That's why they couldn't understand the Lord Jesus. Because when he was here on earth in flesh, he didn't speak like that. He didn't speak, I've come to be this, I've come to be that. Boy, if we're going to just take over the world, cast these Romans off. And no. It really looked like he was defeated. I mean, to be honest about it, it looked like he was defeated. But he knew the plan of redemption. And he knew the way that it had to be done. Oh, Peter, they ain't going to take you. I'll fight for you. Man, we'll just bring an insurrection. We'll take over. Jesus said, I didn't come to fight. I don't need you. I just call a legion of angels and they'll come down and take care of the whole thing. But said, it's not that. I come to die. They never did understand that, did they? That he come to die. Right. But if he hadn't come to die, the Holy Spirit could not come into you and I. Right. Amen. Like I said, why didn't he just bathe the whole world with it? Just give everybody. I've heard preachers in this message preach that cabbage had the Holy Ghost. The trees had the Holy Ghost. All like that. I didn't agree with them either, but you know, I've heard it. You know, just because he poured out his Spirit upon all, see? No. But listen. That Son of Man came to die. The thing that's going to bring the resurrection, I'll get off of this and go on with the message. The thing that's going to bring the resurrection is a death to you and I. And it may take some hungry bellies for us to die. It may take some heartaches and troubles as far as being without for you and I to die enough. It may be that there's just going to be a little flock. Because somebody was talking to me down there a while ago about one of these days, you know, I said, don't you worry about it. When this thing starts tightening down and they start putting you in jail for what you believe, a lot of people is going to quit believing long about that time. You know, now they may be a believer, but they're going to become silent believers. You know. Because they're going to want to keep what they got. So we're going to find out what we are. And amen, bring it on. Even though, John said on Patmos, after he'd seen all and the things that we're telling, he said, even though, come Lord Jesus. He was willing, why can't we be willing? All right, well, let's go on now. See, Jesus, this man, Doesn't matter it was over here after his death and the resurrection thing that this was written. When he was on earth, he proclaimed that he come not to bring his own domain into being, but to bring the Father's domain. That's where your parables are at, you know. The kingdoms and the things, you know. That he was speaking of the Father's kingdom to come. The Father's kingdom was the baptism of the Holy Ghost that would come on the day of Pentecost and start a new creature in Christ Jesus. To do that, the man that was on earth that held that had to die to release that. Right. See, then when it happened, though, a wonderful thing took place. Because when that took place, when he resurrected, he just didn't stop. And he didn't come back among the disciples and just say, okay, now we got it. We're going to take over the world now. They're still in wonderment. When he was standing there raised, they said, you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? About Acts 1:8, somewhere along in there. They still thought he had a natural kingdom or some kind of something. Oh man, we've seen you raised now. Boy, you can take over. We found out that they tried to kill you. We don't understand how come or what happened, but we know you raised. Come on, I'm just paraphrasing it in plain language. They said, we know you've raised up. So if you've raised up, impossible to kill you now. So, you make us like you are. And we'll just take over. We'll kick these Romans off. He said, there's still not a kingdom like that. It's not that type of kingdom. He said, sure. I've paid the price. I've done went to glory and come back. I've done delivered. And I've come back to you. Listen, and here's what's hard to understand. He carried the body up and left it as a sacrifice. Now, which way did it go up? I don't know where you think like I do. I know most of you don't, and I'm glad of that. But when he went up in the ascension, did he leave the body? Or did he go up with the body, come back down with the body, and go back up with the body? Come on. It's about 30 days between the two things. When he told Mary not to touch him, because I'm not yet ascended. When he went up, is that when he left the body? Or did he come back in the body? He stayed around 34 days and went back up in the body. Maybe you never thought the scripture says that. Read your Bible. There's around 30 days between the two events. Alright? Now, you may not agree with me, but that's alright. I'll give you my opinion now. This is my opinion. Because that, Brother Branham, I've never found where he explained that. Now, I know where he talks about the going up, and I know where he talks about this going up, and that going, I know all the quotes, but I've never found where Brother Branham said, now this took place, and then this took place. So then I'm going to give you an explanation of Brother Dale. When he took that body up, he left the body laying on the throne. He said, but he was right back. Did he bring the body back? Do you have to have a... Did he leave a body laying there? Is it a lifeless body laying on the throne? Where's the throne? Right. Now don't do away with the throne in heaven. There is a heaven. Don't spiritualize everything. Because if you spiritualize everything, you got a problem with a natural body. That's what the people in the message are. Oh, we just spiritualize it from here on. No, you can't do it. You got to deal with that human flesh. And that human flesh does not step on this earth until the millennium. So the human flesh must not have come back. Are you going to have to say that he didn't ascend until 30 days later? He said, you just confuse us. Good. Make you go home and read. Make you study and pray. Thank God for the ability to confuse where you can get straightened out. But don't worry about it. I didn't confuse you. You always was confused. I'm trying to straighten confusion out. You was already confused. I don't mean it by raising a hand, but how many of you ever thought about what I was just saying? Did he take the body up as quick as there with Mary and take it right straight up? Did he leave the body? What, did he come back in for 30 days or so and then go up again? What happened? Well, we don't need to know these deep things. Boy, you got a good answer. But you said that same thing when I tried to preach the seals. You said that same thing when I tried to preach Daniel 70 weeks. You said those same things when I've tried down through the years to preach it. Because like I told you, that brother preached a sermon here one time, Feed My Sheep. And I thought, what is he saying? He's got something. And a year or two later, he said, that's why I was preaching that sermon in your church. Because you just preaching them old deep things about the seal. So I was trying to tell you to feed my children. Well, why didn't he feed his children? I've been feeding mine all the time. Mine's here. Where's his? That's not throwing no remark to be against anybody. I'm just saying, mine's here. Where's his? Why didn't he feed his children? You see, he was just trying to beat on to me that I was preaching deep things. And that's probably what you think today. Brother Dale's preaching deep things. I don't understand it. No, I'm preaching shallow things. You're too intellectual. I'm preaching the gospel, which is the most shallow thing that could ever be preached. And you're too intellectual to understand it. So what you need to do is get out of your intellect and get a revelation. Pray for a revelation about what I'm talking about. Kind of funny that I can preach something like this somewhere and somebody ain't never heard me come out and say, Brother Dale, I really enjoyed that. Preach it to you and just go, well, I go to sleep. And I don't know what he's talking about. He just... But I've done the best I could do all these years and I'll keep right on doing it. Trying my best to get you to see it. 40 years preaching on this. Won't hurt nothing to keep 40 more. Won't be no concern. Be an old man, but I'll still be saying, Lord, I love you. But listen. When he went up, fulfilled the scripture. He took his body up, right? That's the scripture. What is that? Psalms 24. When he went up, fulfilled the scripture. Now, I believe he went up right there when Mary was trying to touch him. All right. Psalms 24. That's what I believe. I believe his body went right straight up. All right. Having the trouble finding 24. 24 verse 6. Let me make sure I got this right because I was writing this in a hurry. Well, excuse me. 24. If I get in the right scripture, I might have it. There it is. Let's go to verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor swore deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now I'll give you the quotes this morning, you've had them, where Brother Brown says that's where Jesus went up. Alright, listen. The cry comes back, who is this King of glory? Listen to the answer. The Lord strong and mighty, The Lord mighty in battle. Both of those are in capital letters. Right. Lift up ye heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. I gave it to you where the prophet said that was his ascension. So you say, what happened? Would it be possible then for us to think about that the body is at the right hand? The body is at the right hand. And was taken to the right hand in this ascension. Because this is where he led captivity captive. This is where the saints went up with him. But yet you got a problem too, because you got Abraham and them hanging around for 30, 40 days and then finally going up with him over in the book of Acts. Come on. They went up with him in the book of Acts. Who went up with him in his first? Who went up with him in the last? Could it be that we have put the time gaps in there? Did God make two ascensions? Now I say those things to try to stir your thinking. He just died and went up and he'd come back. And a lot of people have toyed with the idea of what Brother Branham said, that when he saw the Lord Jesus standing out in that field, they said, you can't see the Lord Jesus. And Brother Branham said he was standing there. Evidently, he saw a body. But just remember, he was up in the air a couple of feet. His feet wasn't on the ground. Is it possible that we have tried to put our thoughts upon the Scriptures and tried to make these things to be different when they're one happening? Would it be any problem for the fact that the Lord Jesus then could go up in his resurrection and ascension and leave the body, but yet come back in so a corporal of a form that he could eat? Because he told Peter and them, you got anything to eat? He could eat. And that was before his ascension, right? In the book of Acts. See, we try to put it all in there, and there's no way to give a sensible answer. I'm making that statement to you. There's no way to give a sensible answer. You thought I was going to come out with some kind of a great answer, didn't you? There's no way to make a sensible answer. I only bring that out to get you to listen, to get out of your own carnality of what you've already got it figured out. That's where the trouble of the people of the message, they won't listen to you. They've already got it figured out. And you bring out something, intellect. I didn't say them things. I didn't do that in the Bible. But you see, maybe that corporal body went up and laid on the throne. Not dead. Because maybe it came back. Because at that time, the throne of the Father had not come into being. So he could have moved up and down. I'm just giving you something to think about. Because at the time of Jesus' resurrection and ascension, the Father's throne is not into being. The Father's throne is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that come back on the day of Pentecost. Father's throne is in your heart. In your heart, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, set up the Father's throne. But Jesus said, you sit with me in my throne as I have overcome and sit with my Father in His throne. That Holy Ghost that was within Him come back on the day of Pentecost to set up the Father's throne of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That Father's throne would be the domain of the Father or the kingdom. The fulfilling of the parables and the things that Jesus spoke of. But in the parables it looked like he was talking about natural. But in the parables he was talking about a spiritual kingdom that would come. When Jesus was speaking, he spoke so much of a literal kingdom until that woman wanted her children to sit in his literal kingdom. But the Father's throne hadn't come into being. So what if it was possible for him to go up, leave the body as a sacrifice? Because if that body ever leaves the throne, redemption's over. But see, is it impossible for God to leave a body, but yet come back in a body that he could eat? Because just remember, the one he come back in wasn't 33 years old looking 50. Alright? He would have been a young man when he come back in the resurrection physically with them. That's why Mary couldn't understand, because when he raised a young man. That's why the disciples couldn't understand it, but when he walked among them, they had no argument. See, in the body he was in, he could just walk right through the wall. But in the compound of his natural body, he might be able to walk on water, he might be able to disappear among the people, but he didn't walk through the wall. You know what I'm talking about? When he was here in flesh, he didn't know record of him walking through the wall. I'm not saying he couldn't, I'm just saying there's no record of it. But see, the Father's throne is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Branham, I gave it to you, the first one there on your note, on how can I overcome, page 34, 63, 8, 25. He said, sit in my throne, not on. In, not on. A lot of difference in sitting on a throne and in a throne. When you're in a throne, you're part of the throne. It doesn't mean one of them own because you're sitting up on the pulpit here with your feet dangling off. And the other one, you get inside of it this way and it's wrapped around you. No, that's not what it means, in. That's not the emphasis of in. The emphasis of in is that you're part of it. Jesus was in the Father's throne. Why? Because the Father's throne was in him. He was one with the Father. That was the new birth. I mean, the eternal life that he had. Not climbing up on the throne. So you don't have to say, we've got a body laying up in heaven, laying up there, and it's just laying there. Waiting on something to happen. No. That was when he was in the ground. But as I said, don't spiritualize it so much. But when we get in Revelation 4 and 5, there is one sitting on the throne. But now I'll tell it to you like this. We just read where on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Is the Father here and the Son here? Because Revelation 4 tells there's only one on the throne. And it doesn't say there's one on the throne and one sitting beside of him in his right hand. You can see why Brother Brown emphasized so much what right hand means. It means power and authority, not somebody sitting on the right hand. Because see, if you got one on the throne and in another little throne for somebody else to sit on, or sitting on the knee or the arm of the... See, now you got two people. You went back towards your Trinitarian concept. You better forget it. But listen. In the throne is to be part of the throne. Or to be one with the one on the throne. And we're going to get into some things when we get to it. Where Brother Random like souls in prison. 26, I think. He said Jesus was behind the throne. This is also in the seal book. And said he comes out. Comes around in front. Takes the book out of the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Climbs up on the throne and sits down and says, I'm the one that done it. Well, now you got two on the throne. Or that's the same person, one. Do you understand what I just illustrated? You got the Father sitting on the throne. Jesus comes around, takes the book, climbs up on the throne, sits down in his daddy's lap. The key is in. The key is in, not on. Brother Brown said he become the one on the throne. That might surprise you when we get there to find out that's what's taking place now. That's what I'm trying to program now to where that'll be easier to be said. But listen. Let's just read what Brother Brown said now. Let's read a few of these. I'm a little lengthy this evening, forgive me. I'll try not to be. Look at the message, God, number two on your notes, two of them together there. Paragraph 71, 72, God perfecting his church in Bringington, New York, 1954, 1204. Notice, here he come walking. God's word is eternally true. He's coming again. Going walking down through there triumphant. Now he's talking about the resurrection. Go check behind it. Listen. And I hear the Old Testament saints rallying around him. This is the Redeemer. Say, lift up ye everlasting gates, and be ye lifted up, and let the King of Glory come in. And I hear the angels back over in the glorious place of God, say, who is this King of Glory? That's what the Bible said. And the Old Testament saint said, the Lord of hosts, mighty in battle, here he comes, the King with his delegates, the conqueror. Although he's a mighty conqueror since he rent the veil in two. The angel pressed the gates. The pearly gates swung open. When he pressed the button, down through the city of Jerusalem came Jesus the conqueror with all the Old Testament saints that lived back there, believing that he would come sometime. Hallelujah. What if it is that when Jesus raised, it's just what the Bible says, that many of the Old Testament saints raised. What if it is that they didn't go up? What if it was just him that went up and left the body or made the process complete and then come back in that same body to wait for the saints and then go up together with them? Okay. I can see him marching as angelic bands beating and playing, the angels singing Hosanna. Here come the Old Testament saints and Jesus walking through the streets right up in the front of the Father. And he said, Father, these are those that died in good faith. See, the Old Testament saints. Well done, my son. Climb up here on the throne and sit down in my right hand till I make every enemy your footstool. For one of these days, I'm going down to bring it to New York. Hallelujah. I'm going to send you back again to get everyone that dies in faith. Amen. There he is, the great, mighty conqueror, sitting on the right hand of the majesty of God tonight in his presence, making intercession on anybody here that will dare to take him by faith, and God will send the Holy Ghost down to seal you into the kingdom. Brother Branham had no trouble talking about the body being at the right hand or on a throne. No trouble. But is there a body sitting on the throne? Or was the body capable of coming right back down? But see, once it went up with the Old Testament saints, it didn't come back. It'll come back in the millennium. Right. Now, what if it is that the Lord Jesus was the only one that went up that first? Where Mary, don't touch me, I've not yet ascended. Because listen, folks, this is the acts of a play. This could be made into a movie. Because it's the acts of a play. It's parts being played out that he had to go through. There's not a body run up there lifeless laying somewhere. Here's Brother Dale's opinion. When that body went up, it went right back where it come from, and God was there in the eternal body. It's not a lifeless body. We have an eternal sacrifice. He's there, went back where he come from, because that's what he said. I come from God, I go back to God. Sister Bird said that day to me after me preaching an hour and something trying to explain that on the way home. She said, Brother Dale, I seen it. Said he come from God, went to God. Said he was God all the time. I said, Sister, I wish I'd let you preach tonight. I tried for an hour and a half to explain that. Here's an uneducated person that wouldn't even use a vacuum cleaner because she didn't know how to turn the thing on hardly. Didn't want a washing machine but with one dial on and off, you know. But there she was telling me what she saw. What if these things are something that has taken place right among us? Where's the Father's throne? Is it up in heaven? No, the Father's throne is in your heart by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That don't do away with heaven. That don't do away with Jesus said he come from God and went to God. That don't change at all to me. Because it's not the Father standing up here and the Son comes up and he said, now I'll make your enemies your footstool. Climb up on the throne now and sit down. What did he do? He just went right back to the throne. If that body's eternal, would you have any trouble with it, with God becoming one? I know this is going to take a revelation for you to understand it. But I can't help it. It's what I got to preach. He went right back to being what he was. The only difference was that if you'd have been able to stand there and look, you would have seen it. Whereas before then, you would have not been able to see him because the Spirit cannot be seen. That's why I've always preached to you, when we get there, we'll see Jesus. But we'll know he's Almighty God. That's not oneness, that's true oneness. But the prophet said, the one said, what? The Father said, climb up on the throne. Sit down. till I make your enemies your footstool. In other words, there's a time-wise between what's taking place here and what will take place 2,000 years later, to where somebody can understand what's taking place, where somebody can comprehend what's taking place. Why? Because it's taking place right here in the end time. I keep saying it. John went to where Jesus went. Where did Jesus go? Went up, come right back. Right? The body wasn't left up here and the spirit went out of it, you know, and then the Holy Spirit comes down on earth and the body's just lifeless until the spirit comes back up to it. No, the plan was over with. When Jesus resurrected, that plan of salvation was complete. From then on, you're just dealing with acts of a play that happens on the earth. Because the Father's throne is not up in heaven like that. Now, I keep saying it because it's so easy to do away. Everybody wants to spiritualize it. They spiritualized this thing and said there ain't going to be no millennium temple. Because we're the temple. There ain't going to be no millennium temple. We're the temple. Well, then you just took away what your prophet said on Daniel 70 weeks, and he gave you the scripture, Ezekiel 40 to 44, is the millennium tabernacle erected on earth. Don't do away with heaven and bring it all down to earth. Just remember, the devil is up there in heaven talking to God. But this thing was so hidden from his eyes, he never seen Jesus as he come through the pearly gates with those Old Testament saints with him. And he walked right up there and become so engulfed with the one on the throne until they were one. Then it was over with. The devil standing back looking. He said, I seen the people come up. I seen a man come up. I said, now that I see the man up there, what happened to God? Like I've always tried to tell you. Michael's Christ, right? Is that what your prophet said? Michael's Christ. The devil thought he was God's right-hand man, and he was. But there was one closer. Who fought with the devil in heaven? Michael. Who was Michael? Christ. Who was Christ? The Son of the living God. The devil looks at him and said, I don't know where you come from, but I can't whip you. He would have had enough sense to know that if he couldn't whip him, it had to be God. But he couldn't do it. He goes off thinking, what happened? That's what he done there. He went off thinking. He said, I saw him come through the pearly gates. I seen the doors open. I know what the scripture says. But he said, where did he go? He said, but now I see him standing up there. And said, I hear all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Me and Brother Gary Atkins there used to talk about, that's not in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's in the New Testament. It says, where all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus didn't say that while he was here on earth in the flesh. That took place after, because everything was finished. What are you trying to preach? I'm trying to preach one God. We can read a lot of statements, read a lot of things. But Brother Branham, if you'll notice, all of them would say he climbed up on the throne and sat down. He become the one on the throne. Because he was in, not on it. He was in the throne. If you and I had have been there that day, we could have walked right into that throne with him. Why? Because we're part of it. Because the spiritual throne of the Father is now on earth in the hearts of the saints. That's what he's been down through the ages. Read all the rest of them what I gave you. Listen to what he says on number four of your notes. Hear ye him, 1958. 3:01 in the evening. Then if he is working, than if the only thing differed in Jesus, his corporal body sits at the right hand, at the hand, right hand of God on the throne of God. That's not Jesus' throne. That's his Father's throne. His throne, he's the heir, fall heir to that. He has David's throne, but he's at his Father's throne waiting, and he that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne as I have overcome and sat on my Father's throne. Now he's waiting there in a corporal body, but send his Spirit back to be in the church. They call it a corporal body. But that's what I'm trying to get you to see. One God. I mean, forgive me for my approach. It's the only way I know to do it. I wish I had an education, had something to be able to explain these in great words. But when the Lord Jesus Christ went up in that ascension, he didn't go up there and the Father say, here I am, I'm on one throne. Now you get over here and you sit down here beside of me. You're dealing with two people. You got problems. But if he walked up there and the Father said, well done, son, wouldn't that be what the Bible would say? That the Son shall become subject himself, that God may be all in all? Would it be any problem to see him, if you could watch it in the acts of a play, that there would be the Holy Spirit, which would be the Father, and that Jesus could just step right in there and it just be one? What do you see on one God? How is he going to wind up one day to where that it would be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost dwelling in flesh? And you know that he's Almighty God. Or when you get to heaven, you're going to see a pillar of fire and a Holy Ghost over here and a Son walking around. You're out of the Scripture, because Jesus said, if you could see me, he said, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But see, when he did, he just walked right straight up, and there sat one on the throne, and he just walked right up, and he just stepped into that, and just sat down, not on somebody. He was in. It just come right down to where there's just one sitting there. Because Revelation 5 says, 4 says there's just one. See? We're looking at it as we're trying to figure it out. Quit trying to figure it out and believe it by faith. One day you'll have to agree that everything will have to come into one to where there won't be but just one standing there. Why can't you see that? That's what happened. He said, I come from God. I go to God. He was God on earth. Who raised that body up? Who stood there? Just a human body in the resurrection? I thought we believed that the Holy Spirit, the one that left him, come back. I thought we believed the soul went back. Let's see, the Spirit went back to God who gave it. And the soul went to hell and the body stayed in the grave. When he come back, his Spirit was released. Come back to the body. The soul came to the body. There stood Almighty God. There stood Almighty God on earth. But see, that's where I've tried my best to get you to see. There's still something about God that is not revealed on earth. So when that body ascended, Mary, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended. I've not completed this plan. He just went right up. And as he went right up, then he just went right back into the Father where he came from. Is there any problem with that? No, you're just too honest. Let's hear you preach it. I'll sit with you the rest of this afternoon, women, men, our children, and you explain it some other way. Because you're going to try to take one back up here and let him just lay there. And then you're going to have a Father over here dealing, and the Holy Ghost down on earth dealing in the church. And you're not going to have a revelation whatsoever. But see, God, when He come down, Brother Dick, and give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's not two people. Sure, how can you state it? It's God and it's Jesus and you together as persons. How can you state it? But be careful, you got two people in there that way. Now, when what's my soul becomes eternal by the eternal God that comes and indwells, we are one. That's what the Father's throne is. The Father's throne is the baptism of the Holy Ghost on earth. Listen. Identified Christ of all ages, 64:6-7, number 6 on your note. And when He died, rose, ascended, and sent back the Holy Spirit, that was the Son of God. God is the Spirit. And through the church ages, it's been Son of God. And then in the millennium, it's Son of David, sitting on the throne, ruling. He has ascended. He that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down on my Father's throne. He's sitting on the Father's throne now, but in the millennium, He sits upon His own throne. Now, you remember this morning when I said that? I said the Son, the throne that Jesus said, sit with me in my throne. It's got to go to the millennium. That's the promise to sit on the throne of David. That's an earthly ruling king. And you and I sit on the throne is a better way, but the prophet keeps saying on. That's no problem to say it when He's already told you this in. Well, Brother Dale, I got 18 times where He said on. You only got one where He said in. I got it better than you. Where have you got it better? If you can't put together what I said with the rest of it, you don't got it better. Neither have I. He said, but I got more quotes. That quotes don't matter. It's revelation. Because quotes can't be contrary to revelation. So where's Jesus' throne that He's going to? The millennial reign. Look on down. Mighty God unveiled, 64:6-29. Then we find, after His death, burial, and resurrection, He came on the day of Pentecost as the Son of God. God the Spirit, in the form, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, excuse me. What was He doing? He was changing Himself, making Himself known to the people in a different form. Like the Holy Spirit, which is God, He came to deal through the church ages as Son of God, the Holy Spirit. But in the millennium, He comes as Son of David to sit on the throne of David, King. He was to take the throne of David. He's on the Father's throne now. And then He said, He that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne, as I've overcome to sit on my Father's throne. So he in the millennium shall be son, he'll be Son of David. What is it? The same God all the time, just changing his mask. The real throne Jesus was speaking of is the millennial reign. That woman wanted to know, and he said, that's not given. The test hadn't come. That's in the millennium. But mankind missed the point that He's got to come back here as Son of Man. Because He's Son of God down through seven church ages. And I got these other quotes at home because I'm not going to try to go any further. I'll pick them up in the next one. The Son of Man comes back in the end time. The Word made flesh. Not Son of God. When He's put out of the church ages, you know what He's done? He's put out as Son of God. I'll give you those quotes. Brother Branham was welcomed as long as he had the resurrection sign, correct? Everybody wanted Him while He was doing those things. They wanted Jesus while He could feed them the fish and to raise the dead and heal their sick. But when He began to say, I and my Father are one. So down through seven church ages, it's been Son of God, Holy Spirit in each church age. But in the end time, it returns again just for a moment as Son of Man in bride form to sit with Him in His throne here to where we can sit in the millennium. Now down through the time, They didn't know anything about the Son of Man. Because listen, do you understand the Son of Man would be the resurrection sign? Here stood Brother Branham in the last days with the resurrection sign. What? Showing the resurrection is here. Where's the resurrection? Inside of you. But if we don't understand it, how can we bring it out into a flesh? See, we can't do it. So he said, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now what did he do? When that one became one with the one sitting on the throne, who left the throne? What I'm trying to tell you, do you understand? Don't play with toys in the Bible. Who's on the throne? He became one with the one on the throne to sit down. But when he became one with the one on the throne to sit down, the Spirit of God, which is the Father, could leave the throne, that's naturally saying, and come back on the day of Pentecost into your heart. To bring the Father's throne right in here by the new birth. Bringing you eternal life. It's the Father that brings that. The Son could only make a way. The Son of Man couldn't bring you life. He couldn't reveal nothing to you. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal. Why Jesus said, Brother, I'm paraphrasing, even my own life didn't reveal that unto thee. See, we're looking at something, and we still got Trinitarian minds. Jesus said, I come from God, I go to God. When he went up in that ascension, he went right straight up and become the one on the throne. Not if there wasn't nobody sitting on the throne. That's what I tried to preach to you a few weeks ago, remember? Or a month ago, or a few times ago. How that there's part of God that ain't been revealed. If there's part of God that hadn't been revealed, then you better leave part of God where it's at. Let part of God be here. Let it be the fullness for all that can be revealed to you and I while we're here. But that can only be a part, because when we step out of here, you see, he went right back where he came from. He came from that throne right straight to earth. He sat on that throne. He created a body in the womb of a woman. She carried that for 9 months. He wasn't in there for 9 months. There was a body being materializing. But then when he's come out of that, that Almighty God stepped right down into that little baby. Brother Brown said, Jehovah crying in a cradle. Elohim, he said. A God with no teeth. Did that leave heaven empty? No. The devil's still up there talking to God. He still can't understand all these things I'm talking about. He's up there right now trying to talk to you, trying to confuse you, or get permission to confuse you. He's sending them people here in Brother Dale. They don't understand what he's talking about. God says they will. He said, let me get them, and I'll prove you that they won't get it. He said, I give him to you, but you can't touch his life. 8 or 9 months ago, he gave him a flesh to deal with, but he couldn't get his life. Come on. Same thing with you, Richard. Marlo. Take his body, do what you want to. Brother Branham said that was the greatest honor could ever be thought of, that God thought enough of us to tell the devil to get on us. Oh, I thought we was going to go out of here and fly a bed of ease. Where's that at? You didn't get that in Lula, and you didn't get it from Brother Brown's message, and you didn't get it in the Bible. So where'd you get it? Because the Bible is full of many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord leadeth out of them all. Like I said this morning about Paul beaten 5 times, shipwrecked, all kind of things. But listen, church. When you can hold that confession, Hold that confession while you're sick. Hold that confession and just keep saying, by His stripes I'm healed. Watch it made manifest then. It may be gradual. What has that got to do with it? 3.5 years the Lord Jesus, after the redemption of the body on the River Jordan, 3.5 years later before the body was made eternal. And look what all the things He went through. But do you understand what I'm trying to get through? Through the church ages, He was the Son of God. Because He died Son of Man, He rose Son of God. Now we know He died Son of Man and rose Son of Man. But what's the prophet saying? It was the same body that went down with the same body come back up. But what's He saying? He's saying He died Son of Man. That's the only way He can die. But said when He rose, that was that Holy Spirit that raised that body up and said it took that body right on up into glory and said that body's on the right hand now. What? Power and authority of Almighty God. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. There He sits with it there as the one on the throne. Revelation 4, you'll find one on the throne. Not one on the throne with somebody sitting beside of Him. You find that His becoming to where that I come from God and I go to God. He went right back where He come from. When Jesus left here, He didn't go to heaven and just stand around. Well, Father, now I done what I done. I got it all taken care of. Now you go do the rest. No, He went right back where He come from. Because He was the Father down here. No, He's just the Son of Man. No, you're dealing with flesh. When that flesh was made eternal, you tell me what's the difference between eternity and eternity. When that body was made eternal, you tell me what's anything could be done to make it any more eternal. Well, don't you believe it was made eternal in the resurrection to change? Because that's what's going to happen to you and I. That would be the only way we can meet Him in the air. Why? Because we've got to have bodies like unto Him, the Bible says. The body like unto Him would be a glorified body. But you see, we get in all of the terminologies and we try to figure it all out instead of just waiting. That's what Brother Brown said about Eve. He said she couldn't wait. That's what he said about it. Go to Spoken Word's original seed and listen. He said they can't wait for them to get into it. You know what? Now, I'm going to say this and then you can, ministers, you think what you want to. Because that's your business between you and God. I'm talking about the ones here and I'm talking about the ones on the air. Because there's one thing about it. The prophet said it, I didn't. He said, no man can touch that teacher. And there's where the problem's at. The ministry of this hour don't wait on the teacher to get the revelation. They got to run out with it. That's why you see them running off of these doctrines. Because they're not listening to the teacher that can put it together. But now let me keep quoting Brother Branham. He said the teachers was the one that never got the revelation. I don't mind going on to say what he said. He said the teachers lack the revelation. Why? Because they won't listen to one another. And they won't wait on God to reveal it. That's what I've tried to tell you, and it makes everybody think you're so exalted or whatever. But 1969 in Athens, Georgia, I preached the bride of Jesus Christ was the Son of Man in the last days. You think I'm just trying to be, you know, look like he's hurt? No, I'm not. I'm telling you what God revealed to me in 69. But how much more do I believe that here in 2007, almost the end of it? That's not exalted. That's trying to tell you where it come from. I'm trying to get you to see the same God wants to speak to you. But do it in the right order. Well, there's one on the throne and one standing out here and one over here and one over there. Oh, yeah. Well, we got forms. We got forms. Now, forms are going to be done away with. Not done away like annihilated. That's why it says that the Son Himself shall be subject, that God may be all in all. All in all. Amen. Brother Brown carries that to the future home and the millennium both. I've got it written down. That God may be all in all. There'll be a time come that the sonship will not terminate like do away, like a piece of paper that you burn up and do away with it. No, but when He just keeps stepping back into where He come from. And He just keeps walking back. And one day He'll walk right back past that theophany that's inside of you. And He'll walk right on past it. And He'll step right back into eternity where the sons of God shouted for joy. You'll step right, Brother Gary, right back on into it in your revelation. And then you'll see, I come from God. And I go back to God. Because only God could be the one to make the journey. That's what I tried to preach the other day. With a big circle that we went around. That it was the journey of Almighty God. But as He come down, He started imparting His life into His children. Why? Because His children was in Him before the world. Why don't the people preach predestination like that? They just preach, oh, I always was eternal. And you watch Him, it'll go to the flesh every time. So you know what they're talking about. But you see, God can just step in, and each form just keeps coming in, and keeps coming in. Right? If you could back up my life. Now listen to the illustration. Here I am, 67 years old, fixing to be a great granddaddy. Right? Alright? It took 50 years this coming August. My wife and I will be married. 50 years that it took to come from two little snickle-frints, or ever how you say it, little giggling teenagers. I was 18, she was 16. Of course, like she always likes to tell you, 16 years old then is a whole lot smarter than 18 years old now, and I have to agree with her. Of course, Richard don't. He sure likes to lay it on and say, how old was you, Nanny, when you got married? But take where I'm at today. Most of you witnessed this because you've been with me. Soon I'll be a great-grandfather. Take one step back, what am I? Grandfather. One more back, what am I? Father. One more back, what am I? Husband. Right? Same person. One more back, I'm just a giggling little teenager boy with a ducktail haircuts and bell-bottom pants and laughing at the kids for the way they do today. I'd like to seen Sister Harris when she used to tell me about her going to them dances and things with them. Can you ever figure out that Brother and Sister Harris went to a dance? Been a long time. But if you see what I'm talking about, most of you have witnessed. Some of you have known me long enough. Not to go back far enough, because none of you have known me back far enough, but you've known me back to I was a father. Brother Hal, all these, Brother Tom, all these. Brother Tom, come on a little later, but you know, a lot of you have seen me since I was a father. And then you've seen me become a grandfather. Now a great-grandfather, but how many do you see? Do I have one manifestation over here, and another manifestation over here, and another one over here? Am I a granddaddy over here, a great-granddaddy over here, a husband over here? What am I? You see them all incorporated into one person. See, that's the way God's been. He come down through, stepping into time, as we call it, which is eternity really, and coming out as the Son of God to create. The Logos, the Son of God to create, the Christ coming into being. And then you follow Him down through the Bible in the Old Testament, there He was, the Christ, that in Moses it could tell God a better way of doing things. You see Him come on down until you come through with all of the prophets and they built the body, and then one day you see Him standing on earth. And He says, I come from God, I go to God. Oh, you're trying to make yourself God. No, He doesn't make Himself nothing. That's who He was. He didn't make Himself God. That's who He was. And then He just stepped right on over and died. That didn't end it. That just started what He wanted. A new creation, a new race. Like Him. Start it with a spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul. The Father's throne. And as He did, He just stepped into another form. Here it come down through the time as the Son of God through the church ages. And in the end time, He just stepped into another form to start speaking through the lips of a prophet. It was so great until He said, you're not hearing William Branham, you're hearing Me. He just stepped right into that form. That's where people couldn't understand because he looked at the form. They messed up on that. But then he just stepped right out of that, right on over into the bride. In a greater way than there's ever been upon the earth. Greater way than even the day of Pentecost. A greater time than even the book of Acts and the day of Pentecost. To where you can talk about a redemption of a body. A body that can be brought under subjection to the Holy Spirit that's within. And see, then would it be any problem then that God could go up, become the one on the throne, turn right around and walk right back down? Now, he didn't bring the Father's throne, if you followed me a while ago. He didn't bring the Father's throne right back down. No. He came back himself. And when he came back, then he took the saints up with him. He went right back up to where he had been at when he went up. And he just walked right up. Now you watch this when we get into Revelation 4. He just walked up and become the one sitting on the throne. Not if there wasn't anybody sitting on the throne. And not if there's two or three sitting on the throne. He just became one. Not with. They don't like that word with, but I don't have any problems with it because it's the only way to explain God. In. He incorporates himself into. There's not a lifeless body laying in heaven. And it's not because he's dead because the Holy Ghost come back. He just made the way to release it to where it could come back. See, he's up there right now talking to the devil. Who? Jesus. I'm talking about God now. I ain't talking about Jesus, just a flesh man. I'm talking about an eternal flesh man, Jesus. The Holy Ghost is down here in our heart. One day, he's going to become the Son of Man. He's going to make his journey back in here to the earth in you and I to be able to take us there. If he's not here in you and I, we won't go there in a change. We'll go by the grave. See, that's the Father's throne making way. Now listen to what I was closing it with. See, the Son of Man made way that the Father's throne could come into being. Are you with me? The Son of Man made way, gave his life and things that the Father's throne could come into being. All right, down through the church ages, it's been Son of God. Now the Son of God is making way where the Son of Man can stand on earth again in a bride form to be Revelations 1. Revelations 1 is on earth because he's here standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. That don't do away with what's happening in heaven. Why does he have to become the one on the throne? Evidently, he must have been dethroned. You mean there was a coop in heaven? Yeah. Or what that big word is they use now when they take over a government. Yeah. No, there was no coop in heaven. He's in you. He was dethroned down through the ages. This prophet had to preach him back onto the throne. That's what he done. He preached him back onto the throne like the faith of the Father. Then when he preached him back on the throne like it was, then the seals broke. Only when you and I get it as the faith of the Father's first, then the seals will break to us in reality. My brother Dale, I've been reading the seal book for many, many years. Praise God, I read it for many years too. And one day at General Motors, read it, preached on it and everything. And one day at General Motors running a job that it took two people to run it the days I was out. It was so fast. And I wrote notes when God dropped right down and revealed something to me. And I'd taken right two or three words. And I'd have to go back and do my job. Come back and write two or three words. Go back and write, do my job, come back and write two or three words. Right in the middle of all of it. I know you don't understand me, and I'm sorry.
right in the middle of it, I thought, God, is this you? Is this really you? I'm going to do something. I turned around and told a man a joke on the other side of the line. Not a dirty one now. I don't believe in that. I told a man a joke right in the middle of writing all them notes. We all laughed and had a big time laughing at the joke. I turned around, caught another job, run right back, started writing notes. I said, God, it is you. Because you're not breaking the channel. You promised you'd give it to us, and it's you bringing it to me word by word, even though I'd write down one or two words. And when I finished up, I read the notes. And I preached in 82 and 83. How many sermons, Brother Gary? He used to remember 65 sermons off of one page of notes about that big. That God revealed to me while I was working. It ain't been a man, it's God promising, and he keeps his promise. If you'll believe that, he'll take care of what you have the needs of. It's not believing, Brother Dale, it's believing if God can do it. I'm not trying to be God of the world or a prophet or anything. Even some here said, Brother Dale, you're a prophet. I publicly stated that's wrong. If I'm a prophet, I got to quit today. Because I can't be your pastor and be a prophet. This is just what you're losing me if you keep saying I'm a prophet. Well, the Word comes to you. The Word comes to the Spirit field. After it comes to the prophet, the Word comes to the Spirit field. It comes like Sister Bird saying, Brother Dale, he was God all the time. Brother Branham said, Brother Woodby always quoted, he said, a little washwoman up there on the hill can help you if she's got the Holy Ghost. She can tell you something about God you don't know. I listen very carefully to you, more than you think I do. Because I'm listening for you to give me one crumb. Oh, I cry and pray when I come to church and somebody preaches. I say, God, one crumb. I don't ask for a full meal, just a crumb. Just feed my soul. I travel the country hunting for people because if God's revealing it to you and I, He's revealing it somewhere else. We ain't the only little pebble on the beach. We better be careful. We might not even be on the beach. Because if He's revealing it to you, then He's revealing it to somewhere else around the world. And that's what I'm hunting for. For them that can speak to me about the God I see. The God I see. Bring back to me the God I see. Don't bring to me a God sitting up on the throne and one over here and Jesus come up, sit down on the Father's right hand, big hand holding out. Well, Brother Brown sat down, ain't right, so we'll have to pull that hand back and leave him sit there. What did he say? Right hand means power and authority. He went right back on the throne. But that's only when you can see it by revelation. God is not on the throne of your heart. Let's come on, Brother Dick. God is not on the throne in your life unless you can see Him there by revelation. You see Him there by the new birth. He's on the throne in your life. And the world's waiting on you and I to finish this thing up. If you think this is a great message, or even thought about today being a great message, you wait till next week. Not it's got to be next week. It's just because that God has given it to me the way that I've got to bring it step by step. Then you'll understand, church. When I say it, you think I'm just throwing off on you. I said, if you miss a service, we make the tapes. Please get them. We make them for that purpose. Please get the tapes and listen to them. Why? Because if I hadn't preached this, if you didn't hear this morning's message, you had problems trying to understand this evening until you can catch on a little bit, right? Why? Because you didn't hear it.
I don't mean that wrong. How many of you would like to be in Anna's position or any school teacher's position that the kids is out one day a week? You know. And you done got 5 days with all the others and 4 days on the one. The one is hindering the rest because I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you'd have been here yesterday, you'd have known. And if I'm wrong in saying it, if you miss services and don't hear them, then you're backslid because you're not going to catch what the next service is. Because I preach progressive. It may not sound like it. It may not sound that I moved, but this morning we moved a long ways. If you'll go back and listen to it. Go back and listen to the points you say, well, I've seen that right there a long time ago. Then just start listening as it starts climbing. So you can see it. Let's stand together. Number 120 in the red book. Anyone have a need? Sorry to be a little lengthy. Be laid and come to me and rest. Bring me every burden. Anybody have a need? The altar's open. Do you see one God? Or do you see a Father here and a Holy Ghost there and a Son here? And a... Well, we understand that's a form over there and a form over here and a form over here. The only time that ever happened was on the River Jordan. The only time in the Bible that ever happened was on the River Jordan. For God to show that He was one and a man. And it never to repeat again until the bride becomes the Word. That repeats now. Doubt and load it down with care. In your breath. Bring him back. He will give you rest. Come. Come unto me. You have a need? Just think about that God that's trying to reveal Himself. And be blessed, for I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy. And now here's where we've all been, right? Stumbling on the mountain, dark with sin and shame. Struggling. A struggle. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon. Hear me and be blessed, for I am meek and low. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy. And anybody have a need while we sing the lights? Have you by temptation offered conquered men? Has the sense of weakness brought distress within? Listen, Christ will sanctify you if you'll claim it. If you'll claim it. Oh, come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon.
hear me and be blessed. Danny's up here patting that foot. He's over there to patting that foot. A few months ago, he wondered if he'd ever be able to move it. Come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon. Hear me and be blessed. Why? For I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Who is he? Come. My yoke is easy. Let's just sing that, number 48 in your book. Bless your name, because he's worthy. He's worthy. It'd be the greatest thing to think about. The last sermon I could preach in a year would be to get you to see the God that I see and to know that his name is Jesus. Unchained with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain begin to sing. Their chains were loose, and they were free. I bless your name. Do you? I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. Bless your name. Now that was Paul and Silas. Now here's our part, right? Some midnight hour, if you should find you're having troubles, you're having problems, here's what to do. Pray. Don't change, and they will fall in Jesus' name. Right. We bless your name. We bless your name. We give you honor, give you praise. Who is he? You are the light, the truth, the way. We bless your name. We bless your name. Who is he? You are the light, the truth, the way. We bless your name. And his name is Jesus. Let's just speak to him as we go. Father, thank you. We love you. Thank you for thy word, Lord. Thank you for thy name. Because that's the only name that you ever had and ever will have, because you'll always be Jesus to somebody. You may be Savior, Redeemer, Jesus. You may be Father manifested to a church or something one day. But to somebody, that name will still be Jesus. And Lord, we're happy to just see that. Whatever a new name would be, that would be wonderful and marvelous. But we'll still never forget your name, of the name of Jesus.
just have your way. Bless the people on the way home. I pray that what was said today, that the people would go home and not debate in their mind where the wrong is, but to go home and pray. Get the tape and listen to it over and over. Pray for you to reveal what's trying to be said. Forgive us, Father. We know we fail you so much. Forgive our sins. We know that we're so much a sinner until we're not even worthy to stand in the pulpit to preach the gospel. Yet we didn't make ourselves worthy. You made us worthy. And you gave us the word to bring. And Father, just bless the people on the way home. Take care of everybody. Give a safe journey. Let your loving grace be with all of us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Remember, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.